I'm excited for this message. I don't know if you are, but I'm pretty stoked. Going through John chapter 4, 5, and 6, listening to it again, I came up with 15 more sermons, right, of ways that I could go because of the depth and the richness of it and the imagery. And, you know, it's not me, it's the Lord, right? But the idea is that there's so much richness in these passages. Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, Father, King, Lord, I bless you and I praise you, Father. I thank you for the Shabbat that you've given us so far, Father, the worship and the praising you, Father. And even with the things that fall and the things that go wrong and all the mistakes, you receive all the glory because there's grace found in your presence, Father. And I ask you, Lord, just to continue to be with us, Father, to minister your word, Lord, by the power of your Spirit. Anything that I've missed, Father, may you add to it. Anything that I've added, Father, may you take away. May you, Yeshua the Messiah, receive all glory. May the name of Eduardo become lesser. May you become greater, Father. In the name of Yeshua, amen. So the passage of the woman at the well, it always kind of gets me, but this time it got me even more so, right? It's a crazy story. We talked about it in the Bible study a little bit. When it had come to Tuesday night, I had not written my message yet, so I was still praying about it. Still trying to see what the Lord would have for his people. He didn't tell me yet. Came to Rosh Kodesh, still didn't know what I was going to preach about. Then Thursday night, it hit me. I'm going to preach about the woman at the well. And not just any woman at the well. The woman at the well, right? So Yeshua, he leaves Judea. The scripture tells us, and he went away into the Galilee, which was, you know, his stomping grounds. That was his hood. That was the place where he was from. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, Hebrew Shechem. He's there, and he's doing his thing. And it's the place that Jacob gave to his son Yosef. And Jacob's well was there. So Yeshua being wearied. So that red flags for anybody that Yeshua got tired. Yeshua got tired. He was fully God and fully man, but yet he got tired. He wearied. And then he sat by the well. And it was about the sixth hour. John 4. Right? So Yeshua's there. He's sitting as well. He's minding a business. He's checking his emails. He's doing whatever he would have done by a well, checking his Facebook. He's got a lot of likes. He's getting followers. He's blowing up, right? And then a woman who's from Samaria, she comes to draw water at the well. John 4:7. And then Yeshua being tired, if you know, tired goes with thirsty, right? Hunger goes with thirst. These sort of needs that we have, they kind of pile on top of each other. So the woman's coming up to the well. Yeshua's tired. And then Yeshua tells her, give me a drink. And so this catches the Samaritan woman off her thing, right? Because, you know, if you're talking to somebody who's out of bounds for you, you know, when you were single and dating, you ever knew that someone was out of bounds? Someone was out of your league? Amy was out of my league, but I told her she'll fall in love with me in a year. And the Lord brought it to fruition. You can make anything sound holy, right? Right? And so ultimately, right? So the woman says, how can you as a Jew ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? And then you see that little quotation in there? We talked about this during the Bible study, but we got to know how to navigate the text. That little quotation shows that John didn't put that in there. Or that it's a sidebar as an addition to it. Something that was added, right? To help give us clarity to the story. So you understand why the Samaritan woman said this is because Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Right? They're an outside sort of people. The Samaritan people, their origins go all the way back to the Assyrian exile. When there's a lot of confusion about who the Samaritans are because we don't definitively know. There's one account that they were placed in the land after the exile and they were Kuthian people. And some say that they were a blend of the Jews that were left there during the exile that intermarried with people from the nations, and then you have these Samaritan people that were from Samaria. Does that make sense to everybody who these Samaritans are? We got to know how it is. And the thing about the Samaritans is they believe in the first five books of Moses, and they have their own version of that. They believe Mount Gerizim is the place of worship, not the place that the Torah tells us. So she's already got a problem with this dude. He's a Democrat. She's a Republican. All right, fine. He's a Republican. She's a Democrat. Whatever. right? They have a differences of opinion and a differences of view. They just see things differently. The beef and the problem and you know, the Samaritans had a rap battle with the Judeans. It was wild. You should have been there. It was crazy. I still got the mixtape. Gabe got it too. And so this beef goes back, and I believe it's a spiritual thing that goes all the way back. Because if we read in the portion that we just read this week in Nehemiah 4:2, it says, he spoke in the presence of his brothers, and the wealthy men of Samaria said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Are they going to restore for themselves? Can they offer sacrifices? See, the people of Samaria didn't want the Jews to succeed. There was this spiritual problem and this spiritual issue that goes all the way back to the books of Nehemiah. This beef, this problem. And now we have the woman at the well standing before Yeshua, sitting, whatever, waiting to get her water. And they're discussing about all these things. They're discussing about this issue, even though they're not saying it. This is in the back of their mind. This is in the back of their thoughts that you don't talk to me, I don't talk to you. Yeshua, being so bold, says, woman, give me a drink. Your boy thirsty. Because, you know, Yeshua would have had the humble sandals, right? No cushion on the bottom. It would have hurt his feet. When Yeshua, and the woman's response, how is it? How is it even possible that you, being a Jew, can talk to me? And then Yeshua's answer is the key. Yeshua's answer is the verse that we need to really focus on if you're gonna really write any verse down and look it up later and pray about it in your prayer closet. This is the verse that you need. Yeshua answered her and said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you. So she needed to know the gift of God and who she was talking to. And the one who says, give me a drink, you would have asked him. And he would have given you living waters. Powerful stuff, right? If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you a drink. See, here goes the thing. Here goes the key. You ready? She doesn't say she's thirsty, but she really needs a drink. Yeshua says he wants a drink, but he's not really thirsty. See, Yeshua's thirsty in the flesh, but Yeshua is not going after just having a cup of water. He doesn't need your aquapana or your electrolyte water that has the perfect pH balance. Yeshua is not looking for these things. Yeshua is looking to be satisfied with something that's beyond this woman's comprehension. And he says, here you are, woman, you're sitting here, you're by the well, you're kind of thirsty, you got your bucket, you're chilling, but really, you don't even know who you're talking to. You came here because of a natural need, a natural desire, but now you're having a supernatural occurrence, situation, meeting, encounter. Amen? At this moment, Yeshua is raining down absolute truth to her. As you sit in your chairs and we hear God's word, do we realize that the Lord is consistently raining upon us his truth and his reality? That it is consistently an invitation to come and know the one who speaks from the scriptures. Amen? But her answer trips me out every time. And I know you're looking ahead. You can do that. It's all good. Look ahead. But her answer floors me. And her answer really comes at the heart of you, me, Gabe, every one of us, Gage, security team in the back. It pierces the heart of how we are sometimes. Let's look at what this woman says. She says, sir is so weird. She says, Lord, or sir, or mister, but it's kind of awkward. She was like, brother, you got nothing to draw with. And brother, that well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? And I can hear the sarcasm in her voice, right? Because she's on the natural plane. And we're going to find out why she's on the natural plane, because she lives naturally. She can't even perceive the words of Yeshua, but Yeshua the Messiah is giving her absolute reality and truth for her life and the satisfaction for her, but she's so stuck on this natural existence, she can't even perceive what the Messiah is saying to her. Brother, this well is deep. You're definitely not greater than Jacob, are you? He's the one who gave us the well, and he drank from it himself, and his sons, and his cattle. I know you're talking about this living water, so good. How you gonna get it? You ain't got no bucket. You look tired. You just said you're wearied. You're really dusty too. You probably should jump in, right? All these natural things that are going through the mind of the woman, that she's not on the plane where Yeshua is speaking. She's here in the natural. She's thinking about the natural things. She's thinking about the water she has to get and all the stuff she has to do and the cooking she has to do later and the cousins are coming over and the grandbaby's coming to visit. You got all this stuff going on, right? And she's on the natural plane of things. Are you stuck on the natural plane of things when Yeshua is speaking through this service? As the words of God are being expressed and being taught, as we're reading from the scriptures, as we're getting this deep truth that can completely change your life, are you too busy thinking about, man, my husband wants cookies, I don't want to make cookies, he always wants cookies, I'm going to get frozen cookies, he'll never know. No, I won't know, but the Lord knows. The Lord knows if you gave me frozen cookies, baby. Right? Let's press in. Let's not miss what it's saying. The woman says, look, man, whatever, right? Fine. Give me this water because I'm so tired of being thirsty. She's missing it. Do you see what she's missing? Because if not, then you're missing it too. They're talking about two totally different things. As God is speaking through the service, is the Lord saying one thing, and are you thinking about something else? Are you distracted from truly being satisfied from your thirst because you're too busy being thirsty? Don't miss it, brothers and sisters. And then Yeshua said, cool, you want this water? pH 9.5, perfect pH level. You want to sip from this ice cold water? That New York City water is really good. Amy does not believe that New York City water is good, but that is the best water you will ever drink out of a faucet with. Let me just tell you, can I get an amen from anybody from New York? So I'm going to get videotaped. That's going to be my ringtone. I'm going to put on Amy's phone. New York City water is absolutely the best water you ever drank, especially in the middle of the night, little kid out the bathroom sink. It's amazing. I want to break into someone's house just to drink out their sink in the bathroom. It's so good. And then the woman says, I really want this water. I'm really thirsty. Sounds pretty good. Yeshua said, cool, I got you. Just do me this one favor. Before I give you this water, go and call your husband. And she's like, look, man, I don't know if you follow me on Instagram or whatever, but I ain't got no husband. Yeshua said, you're right. Because you don't got one husband. Baby girl, you got five. And even the man that you're kicking it with right now is not your husband. She judged Yeshua from her natural place of being, her natural existence. She said, brother, you trying to give out water, but you ain't got no bucket. No bucket, no natural water. But Yeshua tells her, no husband, no living water. What things in our lives do we hold on to that are part of this world that prevent us from truly consuming the living water of Yeshua? You wonder why you're thirsty and why you're so thirsty. You go around, I got this desire, I got this one. You're looking off to the side, you're not paying attention to me. It's all good. Listen to it later. I pray the Lord open up your ears, right? Open up your eyes and your heart to be good ground. The focus on this because this will change your life. Not because I'm good or not because I know how to speak well. It's got nothing to do with that. God's words are living and alive and it will convict you, transform you, and change you and make you whole. So don't miss this point. What is it inside of your life that you're trying to satisfy from a natural thirst that only living waters can truly quench? Why are we so distracted by being thirsty, being hungry, and wanting this thing, wanting that thing, trying to be here, trying to be that, when we don't know that we have the one who created the water sitting right in front of us saying, have a sip, have a sip, have a sip. See, the woman at the well was trying to be satisfied and quench her thirst from the five husbands, when really all she needed to do was put aside those past five husbands and that way of sinfulness and approach the Messiah who would have gave her living waters that would have quenched her. Amen. And what is this water, brothers and sisters? When Yeshua says he wants to give us living water, what's he talking about? H2O? Flavor water? Crystal Light? What's he talking about? Oh, man, y'all some holy people. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. John 7. And for those of you that are looking ahead, you cheated. All right. Now, on the last and great day of the feast, what does Yeshua say? Yeshua stood and cried out. And Yeshua says this loud on the last great day of the feast, on Hashanah Rabbah, where they will have a water ritual. Yeshua says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. I'm not just going to quench your thirst. I'm not just going to satisfy your needs and your desires and your wants, but without, when you have an encounter with me, when you come to me, when you stop being the thotty body with your five husbands, and you stop living the sinful way of the world, when you stop living like that and you come to Yeshua, I will put waters inside of you. You will be a well of living water inside of you that will spring up into eternal life. This is not, he's not just saying, come through, have a little sip of water, you know, like these little waters, which don't satisfy nobody because I drink eight of them, right? This isn't the, Yeshua gives us not just the bottle of water, the big jug, the 2 gallons, the Jesse-sized bottle of water. We're talking, if you guys don't know Jesse, his water bottle is about 5'4", kind of thick. This is the thing, right? Yeshua allows us inside of us to have a wellspring of water inside of us that leads up into eternal life. This is the spirit that Yeshua gives us, amen? Don't be the woman at the well. I kind of feel bad for people in scripture because they kind of get branded as that person. Like Judas will always be a Judas and well-deserved, right? But the woman at the well is always the woman at the well. Rahab is always the harlot, right? Even though she does a good thing, she's still Rahab the harlot, right? We're known by how we live, brothers and sisters. It's very, very important. Don't miss that. We need the spirit of our God. Is anybody naturally thirsty? Anyone ever been naturally thirsty? It's a crazy thing. 1 Corinthians 12:13, let's read that. For by one spirit we were all immersed into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. This means we're in this together, brothers and sisters. We are a family, we're a mishpacha, we got one another, amen? And we stand together because it's the one spirit of a God that we drink from. And what's amazing is that Yeshua offers this to the woman at the well. Because by all natural understanding, she's on the outside. And this is what the prophet said, right? You know, I had a big Facebook thing with these Orthodox Jews online. I do that. That's a lot of fun for me. But more important than it just being fun is proclaiming Yeshua. And what they said was that I'm committing the greatest of error, which is a transgression, a greatest sin, because I believe Yeshua is the Messiah. The claims of Yeshua are the fruition of what the prophets look forward to. They're found on the foundation of the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen? And I'm going to show it to you in the book of Isaiah. The giving of the living waters isn't something that Yeshua just says, you know what, I'm going to kill him with this one. I'm going to talk about living water. Yeshua didn't just come up with that. Yeshua just didn't come on the sidelines and make it up. It goes back to the Tanakh. Amen? Prophet Isaiah says, and the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places. If you are in a scorched, burnt down, broken down, hot, heated places, the Lord will satisfy you. Amen. He will give you waters in that place. Even in this moment, he will give strength to your bones and you will be like a watered garden. You will be like a watered garden. And like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. So after Yeshua flexes on her a little bit about the reality of her life, the woman says, look, sir, I see you're a prophet. And I know when this Messiah comes, he'll teach us everything. And then Yeshua says, I who speak to you am he. I am the Messiah. We don't see Yeshua make such a clear profession to really anybody. He does when he's in front of the high priest later on. He says, I, the one who speaks to you, am he. He talks about being the Son of God. He talks about being the Son of Man. But we never see him make such a bold declaration as much as we do here. He even has fun with his disciples. Who do people say that I am? Some say you're John. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Tommy. Some say you're Billy. Right? But here he makes a clear declaration. Why? Why does he do that? It was because of his love and compassion to truly satisfy her. I'm going to give you the title message. The title message is Thirsty, the Rectification of the Quench. Why? Because we all quench. We're all thirsty. We all want to be satisfied. We all want to be content and be whole and be made complete, right? Oh, I could never be like that woman of the world. I wouldn't be like, brother, give me that living water. No, you wouldn't. You would be like, dude, you ain't got no bucket. We would have all been thinking the same thing, right? Because we live on this natural plane, but the Lord is inviting us to go deeper. Put your floaties on. We're going deep. I tell Sandy that all the time. Put your floaties on. We're going deep. And this is what the Lord is desiring for us, because the rectification of the quench is that the reason why you're thirsty and not satisfied is because your life is in sin. Now, you might be right with the Lord, forgiven and whole and complete at this moment. Yes, I get that. But the reason why we hurt and have pain is because of sin in the garden. Or else we would never be thirsty. Thirst would not be a part of our experience if it were not for sin. Hunger would not be a part of our experience if not for sin. So now we live as needing to be thirsty. We live with the experience of being hungry. But there's something deeper that Yeshua wants to get at with us, brothers and sisters. Don't miss that. The true thirst that we need to focus on, which should supersede the thirst for the world or the retention or affection or love from human beings or importance at your job, all these other things. Those are important things to have. I get that. But all these other thirsts must be superseded by a thirst for the living God. Amen? This is the key. This is the point. Psalm 42:1 says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. Is this your cry, brothers and sisters? Because if this is not your cry, then you're distant from God. You're missing the mark of what the Lord has for you. And if that's not your cry, I invite you, come taste and see that the Lord is good. Come and taste that he sees, because once you taste the fruit of the living God, once you taste from the Messiah of Israel, once you taste from the true God, you don't want any other fruit. You might want a mango. Mangoes are good. But you won't want any other fruit to truly satisfy you. It is only the Lord who will truly satisfy you. You're not going to be looking for things online or people in the world or your job to satisfy and justify and completely quench you. Because your quenching comes from the Lord. So you know what? Your natural thirst don't matter. Because the true thirst that you have, which should be for the living God, makes you satisfied, whole, and complete. Amen? Anybody ever work in a restaurant? Ah, beautiful people. My people. What do you mean, you people? Now, so if you ever work in a restaurant, you notice. Anybody ever go to the bars in the 80s and 90s? Oh, y'all ain't been saved that long. I'm just playing. So you sit at the bar top, right? And what do they always have on the bar tops? Pretzels, peanuts. Why? Because they like you? They don't like you. They make you thirsty, right? Right? So they make you thirsty, right? And why do they want to make you thirsty? So you can buy another beer, which does what? Makes you thirsty. And then so what do? Buy another one. And then you say, you know, the pretzel looks good. So you eat a pretzel. Then you get thirsty. So you're on this cycle of never being satisfied while you're sitting on the bar top. These restaurant managers, they are evil, wicked people. May the Lord grant them repentance or judge them at this moment. Just kidding. But it is so true, right? It is so true that we have that the restaurant has, there's a conspiracy theory of the restaurant. It's called the Blue Pretzel Project. And they are seeking to they are seeking to make you thirstier for what? For what point? For you to continue and eat their pretzels, not because they like you, so you can keep drinking more and more. And here goes the crazy part. As you drink more, you think less rationally. So at the point where you should stop, you're like, you know what? These pretzels are slamming. I'm going to keep having pretzels. And then you keep drinking. Now you're in jail. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, things go south, right? Things go south, right? You're never satisfied. You're never quenched from your thirst. They're not the only ones who do that. You know, in the late 90s, early 2000s, there was this huge thing where, you know, everybody was giving out free bread. I don't know if you noticed, but the breads got bigger in restaurants from what they did in the late 80s. I don't know if you guys noticed that a lot of the rolls got bigger and longer. You know why they did that? Because a lot of people weren't buying as many desserts. So instead of people hanging out for 50, 55 minutes and not getting dessert and spending the last 20 minutes, you know, talking about stuff, They would fill you up with so much free bread that by the time your entree came, you were full, so you had to go to the bathroom and you left a few minutes earlier. That is a true fact. And that was the way that you flipped tables when you weren't getting enough guests inside the door. So you were able to get more people. What happens? Anybody been to Longhorn or Texas Roadhouse on a Thursday night, Saturday night? Jam-packed, 2.5 hour wait, right? You're probably not going to wait. But if they can minimize that wait by stuffing you with bread, they'll get an extra table and then generate that income, right? So you got to understand, look, it's not only the restaurant business that's evil. You're like, you adversary, Red Robin, right? Red Robin doesn't even give bread. You adversary, Olive Garden, right? That they do these things, right? That, look, I'm not saying every single server you go to is thinking like this, but this has become something that has happened in the restaurant industry. And we become aware of it, and you're like, you know what? And we're smart. I'm not going to eat any more bread. I want to eat my steak, right? But we're not so smart when it comes to the enemy. The call that we're called to have with the enemy is a call that recognizes his tactics and the way that he wants to take us down. See, some of us live in la-la land. We're frolicking. Everything's all good. I'm going to go worship on Shabbat. I'm going to celebrate the appointed feast of the Lord, right? You ever see people do that, right? I don't know why they do this, but, you know, seems like a thing. And then, and people think, I'm content, I'm all good, but the outside of their life is completely in shambles and everything's broken apart and they're empty and they can't sleep at night. Why? Because even though they have this outside appeal of being satisfied, they got a good job, they got a house, they're married, they got a couple of kids, everything's all good, everything looks nice on the outside. But on the inside, they can't sleep, they're broken, they have problems with their spouse, their loved ones. We're not satisfied. Why? Because we're not aware that the enemy is seeking to destroy us. When you go into those Olive Gardens and you stuff your face with bread, you don't realize you're never going to get to your entree. Or you can eat pasta. Don't even get me started. It's a trick of the devil. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert, because your adversary, the enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He's not playing tag. He's not playing footsies. He is down to take you out. That is his mission and his goal. Brothers and sisters, we must be aware. Amen. James 4, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, too many of us want to resist the devil, so he'll flee, but we don't want to submit to the Lord. I want power in supernatural places. I want to cast out demons and bind the enemy. But you have none of the fruits of the Spirit, none of the submission to the Lord, none of a life that is conformed to the image of Messiah. Not talking about perfection here, brothers and sisters. We're talking about the decision that, hey, all those things in the world that I did, everything sexual, immoral, everything that is despicable, everything that goes against God's word, I don't want to do that anymore. Lord, help me. And this is when we get authority to resist the enemy. This is when we get authority to cast out demons. Not because we've hit all the checkpoints of living perfectly, but we've committed to resting in the power of that living water, the Spirit of God that he gives. Amen. This is what it says, Ephesians 4. I just want to read the part where it says, he who steals. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so we have something to share with one who is in need. Why does it say to do this? Because the earlier verse says, don't give the devil an opportunity. If you are living committed and focused and doing the things that the Lord calls you to do, then you won't give HaSatan an opportunity to take you down and make you thirsty for those nasty peanuts that, if you weren't at a bar, probably wouldn't taste that good. Anybody ever take those pretzels home? Peanuts home? No, right? Oh, you did? Oh, man. The Lord rebuke you. Now. Huh? It was awful, right? Oh, you did take it home, but it wasn't good. That's what I'm saying. You go try to have them at night with the little brownie you took home and the ice cream that's melted. You try to refreeze it. We make bad decisions all the time. You understand what I'm saying to you? That's Kevin. Kevin definitely did that. These are bad decisions. In the moment when you're naturally thirstiest is when bad decisions seem to be so good. In the moments when you are the most thirstiest of the natural, it's when these bad decisions seem so good. Trust me, I've been thirsty. Maybe not you guys. I know you guys are holy and kadosh and all that good stuff. But me, you know, I've been thirsty in my life. And I've made some really bad decisions. And all those bad decisions that I made never satisfied me at all. Much rather have had a Gatorade. You know what I mean? So if we're ready, I just want to show this video really quick. If the audio is ready too, Lee, if we could just check that out. Okay, hit the lights for 2 seconds. Kevin, see if the audio is good too, please. Thank you.
Marsha, what happened?
Peter hit me in the nose with a football.
It's not playing.
Marsha, what happened?
Peter hit me in the nose with a football. I can't go to the dance like this.
I don't know what's
wrong
with it.
It was an accident, sweetheart.
An eye for an eye. That's what Dad always says.
I never said that, honey.
Shut up! Time to teach Peter a lesson.
Marsha, eat a Snickers.
Why?
You get a little hostile when you're hungry. Better? Better.
Marsha, Marsha, Marsha.
Jan, this isn't about you.
It never is.
So, if you know, she becomes a pretty blonde girl afterwards. So, you get the story, right? So, the idea is that this woman is really Marsha, right? And she's kind of upset. She got hit in the face with a football. But she can't really deal with the fact of the circumstances of her life. Why? Because she's kind of hungry, right? So, what do? They give her a Snickers bar, and then she transforms from this ugly dude to this pretty blonde girl, right? So, you get the idea, right? Makes sense? How many times have we been in situations where we're naturally hungry, and we allow that natural hunger, that natural thirst to be something that makes us act in a way that's contrary to what the Lord calls us to? And as soon as you get a Snickers bar or any other Kit Kat or Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, if you're super cool, if you're not that cool, maybe a Babe Ruth bar. I don't know. People eat that still. But all these different candy bars that people like, and then you feel better. Or you have a sandwich. How many times have I been bumping heads with Amy and then I get a turkey and cheese sandwich with a little bit of olive oil mayonnaise and it's super good, right? How many times? Right? Because you allow the natural of your situation, the natural of your circumstance to trump the reality of what you are experiencing. Don't let this happen to you. See, the woman at the well, she stood before the Messiah, the creator of the universe, the invisible image of the visible image of the invisible God. And she stood before him with all his truth and all his wisdom and knowledge and understanding. He stood before her. And he told her what she needed to be satisfied. But she missed a lot of what he said. May we not miss. May we not miss. After she was done having this conversation with her, this is fast forwarding a little bit, the disciples go up to Yeshua and they say, you know, Rabbi, eat. And he said, I have food to eat that you do not know about. Do you have this same thing? Are you so tapped in with the Lord that your complete satisfaction and wholeness comes completely from him? Or are you too busy about the things that you're facing in this life, in this world, and these problems? And let me tell you something. Our thirst can come from anything. Any desire that we have, anything that we want, anything that we seek, but our satisfaction, our quenching needs to come from the Lord. Amen. And then the disciples freaked out. They said, no one brought him something to eat, did he? Yeshua found himself in a place where not only was he preaching to the woman how she needed to live, he lived that reality as well. We need to be a people that do the same thing. We can't just preach this reality of Yeshua, this Yeshua idea, this living water idea, and not be truly satisfied from that same living water. What Yeshua does is he allows the woman to become a wellspring of water that leads up into eternal life. And what's amazing about this wellspring of water is that it was more than she needed. The wellspring of water that was inside of this woman ultimately becomes more water than she needs. Why? Because she's able to pour cups of water for others. So when she goes back to the town and she meets with these other people and the other ones of her town, and then Yeshua goes and talks with them and she drops the seeds, what happens is the life that she received, the quenching that she received, she was able to bring that same message to others who were thirsty and hungry. This is our goal, brothers. 2 Corinthians 10, I want to read this. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Messiah. Is this your life? And that's not to answer out loud. But is this your life? Are the things that are contrary to Yeshua, are the things that are contrary to the Lord, do you pull them down? It's important. Because we can't be as good without everybody involved, without everyone invested, without everyone being whole. Amen? And truly fighting this battle. I want to close thinking about these things, which is, it's called tikkun. Tikkun is a word that means the rectification, sort of like a restoring. And in Judaism, we talk about tikkun olam, which is this rectification of the world. Why would the world need a rectification? Because the world is messed up, right? What caused the world to get messed up? Sin. When Yeshua sits with this woman at the well and she's doing her thing and she's trying to understand what Yeshua is saying, she finally gets it. After he gives her this supernatural experience, says, "Nah, baby, you had 5 husbands." And what she does is she leaves that place. And when she leaves, what does she leave? Her water bucket. Because she realizes that water bucket will never satisfy her. And she's so consumed with the satisfaction she has in that moment, that glimmer. And mind you, she didn't really get the fullness of Mashiach at this point. All she got was a glimmer of his truth. The weight of his truth with his ability to see her sin caused her to run from that place and declare that truth to the Samaritan town that she was from. The woman left her water pot in John 4:28 and went into the city and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all the things that I've done. This is not the Messiah, is it?" Kind of, you know, she's kind of on the fence. Maybe she's posing as like an open-ended question. She was probably open to their objections. But clearly, Yeshua had an effect on her. You know, there's a passage in the end of the book of John that says in John 21, it says, if all the things Yeshua ever did and all of his actions were written down, the world could not contain the books. So out of all the experiences that Yeshua did, all the things that Yeshua did, all the miracles he did, all the chronicles of Yeshua's life are so many and so huge, why does this one make it in the book? It makes it into the book because it clearly characterizes Yeshua's truth and Yeshua's redemption. See, this woman who's a Samaritan and she has the status of a Gentile, she's far from the covenants. She's far from God. She has all of her past, her family history. She got all these problems from being a Samaritan that make her far. She got false scriptures. She got false religion. She has people who lied to her about her identity and her problems and her issues. She's made bad mistakes having 5 husbands, being a fornicator, an idolater. Just all this nonsense that's piling up against her. And Yeshua, in this moment, meets her and gives her opportunity to be restored to where she was broken off from. This is the point, brothers and sisters, that at this moment, Yeshua is ready, willing, and able to restore us, to rectify us to himself. No matter where you've been, whatever nonsense you got going on, whatever problems you got piling up, the Lord can make it whole and make it complete and use you as a vessel to be an ambassador for his kingdom. There's no greater calling. There's no greater role. This is why the woman left her water pot there. I'll tell you something. When Yeshua told her she had 5 husbands, you think she was thinking about being thirsty? I'm kind of thirsty right now, actually. I actually really am. Probably because I'm talking about water so much. But here goes the point. I'm not controlled by my thirst right now, right? As the Spirit of God moves, you suppress your natural desires, your natural wants for the supernatural ones that glorify Yeshua. Isn't that a powerful thing? And so we grow in that, and we grow in that. And I'm talking about no matter where you've been, no matter what downside you've had, no matter what hurt you've caused to people or you've had cause to yourself, no matter what pain, no matter what brokenness, no matter what loneliness, that the Messiah is seeking to put a portion of his very self, his Holy Spirit, inside you to renew you. Isn't this a beautiful message? But now let's go back to the beginning of the story. Because the beginning of the story is where the big part comes from, right? Yeshua says to her, give me a drink. You think Yeshua cared about her water? Her little beat up water pot? Somebody want to drink out her water pot? Peanuts from the bar top. It's nothing. She doesn't need her water. You know, scriptures teach that the old Jewish tradition, and it comes down to us in the New Covenant, that the rock that had water come out of it, the New Covenant says that that rock is Messiah. So let me tell you something. The rock that water flows out of doesn't need a drink from nobody. Right? What is he calling the woman to do? He's calling the woman to stop drinking from that well. Stop worrying about this. I don't care if Jacob put it here. I don't care if the Pope put it here, Michael Jackson, Jordan, anybody. It's not about this well. It's not about this water. Stop trying to be satisfied from all the things that are around you, all the things that your eyes see, all the things that your eyes want. And instead of being consumed and occupied with these natural things, come and drink from me. That's the drink he wants. The drink that he wants is a submission and a wholeness where we are consecrated to him, brothers and sisters. Because that is the only way she can be truly satisfied. And mind you, don't forget this. Just in a small moment with her coming in contact with the Messiah, she completely forgot her water bucket. She was not thinking about no water bucket. Why did she go to the well? She walked away not caring about that water. Why? Because she met the rock from whom water flows out. And we're not talking about natural water. We're not talking about H2O. We're talking about the Spirit of God that completely satisfied this woman. That after she was tired and thirsty, she ran back to where she came from. Which by the time she got to the well, she was probably thirstier than she was when she first left. Now she should be naturally more thirstier by the time she goes back. But she's not thinking about the natural thirst. She's hot. She's thirsty. She's in the heat. She didn't have a Tesla that could drive itself with air conditioning to go back to the town. Yet she was not consumed by her thirst or her tiredness or weariness or the idea or the fact that she needed to get water. Five kids, she probably got a few babies and baby daddies, right? So she got to get water for the family, right? That's the reality, right? Thinking about it, maybe? No? No birth control. Probably had a few kids. Had to bring them back water. But in that moment, she couldn't be consumed with all the external things around her. She ran, subjected herself to be more, to be naturally thirstier in order to proclaim the truth and the reality of the fact that she had been quenched. There is a decision that every single one of us need to make. And it is, where will you be satisfied at? Where will you be quenched at? Will you be quenched at the wells and the waters of the world, or will you be quenched at the wells and the waters of our Mashiach that fully satisfied? Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, Father, King, Lord, I bless you and I praise you, Lord, on this Shabbat, Lord, the day which you've called us to rest, Lord, but we proclaim your truth and your reality, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would open the eyes and the mind and the hearts of your people, Lord, to receive your word, to receive your truth, and to come to you. We come against anything that's contrary to you, Lord. Any oppression or objections to you, Lord, that might be supernatural, Lord, we rebuke it in the name of Yeshua. And we pray, Lord, that you would draw us nearer, draw us closer, Father. We pray for the fire of your Spirit to fall. We pray for wholeness to happen, Lord, and healing to come down, Lord. Refuah shlema mishamayim. Complete healing from heaven, Lord. I thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord, and may you take us to the deeper water, Father. And may we drink from the wells of life which you have for us in the name of Yeshua. Amen.